This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Please help me this morning in Jesus' name. Help me to share your message. Help me to be useful to this gathering this morning. And glorify your name. In Jesus' name we prayed. I thank God for our pastor, our senior pastor, our co-pastor. Pastor Joy, she was crying there and I was crying too. Visit my boyfriend. I'm going to go visit my fiancé. I'm going to wear the best wig. I'm going to wear... Is that what you wear all the time? Is that what you wear all the time? They always cancel that. Try to catch them unawares. Try to show up when they were not expecting you. You will find out that your fiancé and your fiancé is a real person. It's a real person. All they have been showing you all the while, grooming themselves because you are coming, is different. If you can open under the bed, they have covered so many things, pushed so many things under the bed because you are coming to make the room look, I don't know, I hope I'm not talking to anybody in the house. See if you can catch them unawares. And please, 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 do not marry or go far into any relationship unless your loved ones and your family are involved. Unless they have met and have related with that fellow. Don't go solo. Don't go solo. When you go solo, you fall quicker. Every time is a Bible principle. Every time you separate yourself because of a love affair, you are going to wound yourself. You will shoot yourself eventually. Don't go solo. Don't make major decision unless your loved one, because they are the ones that will see your blind spot. They are the ones that can see your blind spot. I shared with the young adults on Friday, because you always want to make excuse for somebody that you are dating. Mommy says, why is he so angry like that? You say, no, he's tired. He's not angry, mommy. He's tired. He's tired. But mom have seen that this guy is exhibiting certain character. And it's only your loved ones that can see your blind spot. It's only your blind spot, loved ones. But unfortunately, like the young adult said to us this morning, if you don't have a relationship with them, you cannot earn their trust. You cannot earn the ability to speak to their life. They will not trust you. They will not respect your opinion if you don't have a relationship with them. So, I'll leave just those 2 points that I want to share with young adults among so many. One, I want to share something this morning about the power of understanding and obedience in relationship. And everything just kept coming to sync this morning. I'm surprised that your Sunday school is focused on obedience, as if you have seen my message and know that I'm going to talk, and somebody else came and gave a testimony and testify about obedience, even when it didn't make sense. And Bolaji came and said it doesn't have to make sense, and they started preparing my message. I want to please speak to the parents. I want to speak to you. I have limited time to spend with you, and my heart breaks because I understand relationship, being a relationship expert, and I understand you can't fake relationship. You can't make religion out of relationship. You have a wife that you have offended, and you keep telling God to deal with her heart, to deal with her heart, to deal with her heart. After God has dealt with her heart, you have to stretch your hand and relate with her personally. If a person lacks touch, meaningful touch. A spouse lacks meaningful touch. A child, experts say that every human being need between 5 to 8 meaningful touches per day to thrive. Up to 5 to 10 meaningful touches per day for them to thrive. You know, meaningful touches, hugs and kisses and your teenagers sometimes need you to touch them. They want your touch, your meaningful touch, for them to thrive. And so there's somebody who has been lacking meaningful touch. And you are a member of Redeemed Christian Church of God. You pray so much. You begin, Holy Spirit, please touch them. Holy Spirit, touch them. Holy Spirit, impact them. The Holy Spirit will say, go and touch them. I don't touch people. I control people's heart. I do not touch them. It's not the work of the Holy Spirit to help you to touch a spouse that is lacking meaningful touch. The Holy Spirit will not help you to kiss your wife. The Holy Spirit will not help you to kiss your husband. If that is what they need, the Holy Spirit will not help you to hug your child. If that is what they need, it is your duty to reach out to them and touch them. And touch them. Please allow, I beg you, allow your young adults the freedom to disagree. Allow your loved ones. That's one major thing that I've seen that is destroying our culture all over the world. God has given me opportunity. Now I travel. The same thing I find, Pastor. The same, Pastor Joyce, the same thing I found in London, in Manchester, in Canada. The same thing I found among our cultural setting. The same thing everywhere. One of the destroyers of our culture, African culture, Lanre Olusola said, it is culture and religion that is not letting our nation move forward. That's what is not letting our nation move forward. We are not moving forward because the culture is pulling us back and religion is pulling us. And these are some of the things that are not Bible-based. They are culturally based when you investigate them. One of the destroyers of our culture, we do not permit our adults the liberty to disagree. Remember this always, you can never force an adult to comply. You can never force, you do not force an adult to comply. What adults do is adults make choices. Choices have consequences. Allow the choices that adults have made, allow the consequence to teach them. But you cannot force. We force in our culture. We force. We advise people. In the name of advising, we are giving them instruction. In the name of advising, we are instructing them. In the name of advising, we are compelling them. In the name of advising, we are cajoling them. In the name of advising, we are mesmerizing them. We are forcing them to take the decision that we have taken. We make it so impossible for them. If something is wrong in a family, I will go and tell uncle, I will go and tell auntie, I will go and tell daddy. And so when you go to visit auntie, she's saying the same thing. She say, I hear they have been talking to you about this issue. You refuse to change. If you don't come here again, if you will not listen to me. You are talking to a 42-year-old man. He has a right to choose. Even if the choice he's going to make is the wrong choice, it is his choice. He has a right. Even if you know the consequence, if I know the consequence of the choice that my son is making, if I have talked to him and I've talked to him and I've talked to him and he refuses, what should I do? What should I do? Force him to make that choice. That was why that guy, you probably read about him about 5 years ago, a guy in a house in Redemption Camp killed his dad because the dad was going to force him. He was going to force a 26-year-old to come to night vigil in the night. And when the boy refused to pray, The daddy went to the kitchen to go carry a stick and start hitting him. Pray, pray. The devil is going to kill you. Pray, pray. And so the boy, because he was doing drugs, went to the kitchen, got a knife, and stabbed the man. Because you do not force an adult to comply. You don't force your wife to comply. You don't force your husband to comply. You don't force your daughter to comply. Once they become adults, you give them the liberty to disagree. You give them the truth. Does God force us to comply? No. I present to you life and death. Who did he ask to choose? Choose ye this day. Whom God doesn't force choices on us. Whosoever sinneth shall die. The choice of salvation is a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. So please, that destroys our relationship to a very great extent. That destroys our relationship to a very great extent. In the book of Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3, the Bible says, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. Wisdom builds, understanding establishes. Understanding is very powerful in relationships. If we can navigate the environment of our relationship with understanding, our strife will reduce. Our strife will reduce. They skip the video clip that we watch. They quarreled. They were going to sit on different seats in the funeral service. Yeah, they did. But as they did, they were still looking at each other. They were still looking at each other. They started texting nasty things to each other, right? Until they heard the story of the guy whose wife had just died, because after he said nasty things to the wife. And so that broke their heart. That brought the story home. They came out of the car and reconciled. When they reconciled and hugged, does it mean they will not fight again? They will still fight. But they've learned a lesson, and their fight will now be lessened. As we grow in our relationship, our fights must reduce as we learn. As we learn, our fight must reduce. Our struggle must reduce. If our fight does not reduce, we are not learning anything. Our strife must reduce. I've been married to a top woman for 30 years. And I've been a minister, I've been a pastor. We've enjoyed marriage, and we've had difficult times also. We've had occasional strifes. We've spoken things to each other on occasion that we should not speak. And we've forgiven each other, but we've also gone to quarrel again. And sometimes I look at myself, I'm frustrated with myself. I say, what kind of minister am I? The things that I want to do, I cannot do. Am I different from you? You can't fake relationship. You can't fake. Relationship does not flow the way I'm preaching to you now. I move from point one to point two. Sometimes you are on point two. Something just happened. You lose your guard. You go back to point zero. Go back to point zero that you are looking like this. You look at yourself and say, at my age, you are frustrated with yourself, right? And then you have to pick up yourself again and say, Oni, to even say, Oni, I'm sorry. Because I come from the culture where men don't say sorry. There was a day I quarreled with a woman. After we quarreled and we did, the quarrel happened in the presence of the children. And we have said things to each other, bad things, that we were angry with each other. And I knew I was wrong. To go and say sorry is a big problem. You see, I'm an Ekiti man. You go and Google Ekiti. You will understand what Ekiti man means. So, I know it's right to say sorry, okay, but to go to top woman to say sorry, it's even easier. I can say sorry. But I realized that I have to correct what has happened in the presence of the children. I have to let them know that what I did was wrong. Also, so what I did on Sunday was to bring bread and say, I want to serve the Holy Communion. I said that as a priest that we can serve Holy Communion at home. And I said during Holy Communion, people always do confessions before they serve the Holy Communion. So I said, as we are about to break this bread, I have a confession to me. I wrapped my confession around the Holy Communion, and I quickly told them, the way I spoke to mommy in your presence the other day was not right. I'm sorry, I'm wrong. May the Lord forgive me my sin. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, amen. My wife said, top man. top man. I said, a pastoral. I wrap it around pastoral confession. But the point went home, right? That all I wanted to say with Holy Communion is, I was wrong and I am sorry. But because I was raised from a generation and a culture where men don't say sorry, it has been burnt into my DNA, and I have to work on it deliberately. So it is in relationships. We do not drift towards oneness deliberately. I'm sorry. We do not drift apart from oneness deliberately. We drift apart from oneness towards isolation naturally. The natural thing is to go away from your spouse. The natural thing is to walk your own walk. The natural thing is to go to isolation. But if you want to achieve oneness, oneness had to be achieved deliberately. You become close to your children deliberately. You become close to your husband deliberately. You become close to your wife deliberately. Love is a verb. Love is not a noun. It is what you do. That's why Waldo Emerson said, what you are doing is not letting me hear what you are saying. If you say, I love you, I love you, I love you to your daughter, to your spouse, you say, I love you, I love you, I love you. One day your spouse will burst and say, show me the love. Stop saying it. Act it. In fact, if you don't say it but act it, it's better. It's better because it is a value statement. Love, I love you, is a value statement. And I don't have time, I was busy. Somebody said, it's a statement of value. Honey, why didn't you check on me? Honey, why didn't you text me? Honey, why didn't you ask about me? Why didn't you ask about my day? I was busy. It's a statement of value. What you are saying is that what I was doing was more important to me than you. That's how your loved ones realize, that's how they interpret, I was busy. I am busy is a statement of value. So they see it as the word that you give to them. Understanding is very powerful. If you don't understand someone, you find it difficult to walk in tandem with them. If it is at work, if it is at home, you find it difficult to get their cooperation. You find it difficult to relate with them because you don't understand them. The more you understand somebody, the more you begin to relate with them. The more it's easier it becomes for you to relate with them. In fact, you often walk in contrariness when you don't understand somebody. If you don't understand yourself, you'll be frustrated. If you don't understand your life purpose, you'll be frustrated. You will just find yourself frustrated. What is happening to me? I can't seem to get the handful of anything around myself. So understanding is very powerful. Remember, every marriage is a partnership. Every marriage is a partnership. The level of your cooperation determines your productivity. Every marriage is a partnership. The level of your cooperation determines your productivity. When your partner is healthy, your cooperation is strengthened. When your marriage partnership is healthy, your cooperation becomes strengthened because you see yourselves as partner. You cannot leave your loved one behind and make so much progress. You cannot go solo and make so much progress. No. You cannot leave your loved ones behind. Come and illustrate with me. This is a lady acting as top woman now. We have been married for 30 years, and she met me carrying this load. This is the load you met me carrying. And I need help carrying this load. But you are going to act like you don't care. That's what we are starting to do until we reach a point that we care. So let's go. We are going on journey of life. Hold on to this, but you don't care. So I'm carrying my load. You do not know how to act. Oh. I need you to act like you don't care and be dragging me back and let me be struggling and let me be moving. I want to go forward in life. And I have a partner that is not cooperating with me. She's not willing. She's not ready. And I want to go my own journey alone by myself. Now you are ready to cooperate with me. Let's go. And it becomes easier. It becomes easier. It becomes easier. If I want to run, we can run. When she's ready to cooperate, go and sit down. I will teach you how to do drama tomorrow. The load of life, the person you marry can slow you down. Oh boy. Your spouse can slow you down. No matter how gifted you are, no matter how sharp you are, how smart you are, unless you have decided I will not marry. Your partner can make life miserable for you. With all the gifting that is within you, your spouse might, if you marry a long-term spouse, journey of life can become difficult for you. May God give you a partner that is willing. May God give you a partner that is ready. It becomes easier when your partner understands you. Did you remember the movie Evan Almighty? The legislator that started seeing this vision and started doing things weirdly. And he couldn't explain to his wife. He couldn't explain to his children what he was doing, the vision that he saw that his spouse and his children did not understand, estranged them. They started separating from him, isolating him, until the guy that was showing up as Almighty appeared to the wife in a restaurant one day and explained to the wife that this is what is happening to your husband. From that day, the woman came home and started cooperating with. In fact, the children joined to build the ark that they were built, that the man was building. If you do not have the cooperation of somebody that you love, it makes life miserable for you. Or you could be gifted. Or you could be anointed. How many great men of God who are anointed, their relationship has destroyed their ministry. Understanding leads to compassion. And compassion always forces commitment. Understanding leads to compassion. Have you seen the caregiver of somebody who is disabled, a quadriplegic? Or somebody who has a very severe physical disability. When you first see them, they are drooling, and you are irritated, right? When you meet such a person, you feel a little irritated. The next seat that is available is the one that is next to them. You don't want to take that seat. The only person you need to ask is their primary caregiver. And when you see the primary caregiver, take the napkin and wipe the drool and wipe them and make them feel comfortable and smile at them. If you go to ask that person, what is the power that makes you do that? Understanding. I have come to relate with him. I understand that there is a personality beyond what you see. He is a pleasant person, you know. He's a very intelligent person, you know. He's a very loving person, you know. In spite of this deficiency that you see, what you that do not understand him see is the deficiency. But what I that understand him see is a pleasant person. And so understanding forces compassion. Even if your spouse has a deficiency, when you understand them, you will have compassion on them. And because you have compassion on them, you will become committed to them. You say, honey, I went to counsel a lady and the husband, and the lady has a bad deficiency. And the husband painted the picture to me. I went to do mediation for them and said, top man, you don't understand. This is what I've been dealing with. This is what I've, and I was moved to tears. I said, bro, enough. I said, enough. He said, why? I said, look, this marriage ministry has forced me to become a compassionate person. I said, can't you have compassion on this lady? I'm not a husband. You are telling me her story, and I am moved to tears already. She's dealing with a demon. She's dealing with a circumstance that wants to tear her life. And you, the closest person to her husband, you are also joining the demon to pummel her. I said, can't you have compassion? If you have compassion and join her, you will join her to fight this demon. And she will become a better wife. He caught the vision. They were about divorcing. Their marriage has turned around for about 5 years now. Their marriage is set up, man. He started to nurture the wife. He would go to her, honey, are you okay? What are you dealing with? What is going on? He started to understand the wife that the forces that is making her do what she's doing is beyond her. May God give you understanding over your relationships in Jesus' name, so that your life journey can be simplified. You need understanding of your children, your young adults. If you understand them, you will have compassion. If you understand the world they are living in, this is the most sexualized generation that has ever lived. This is the most sinful generation that has ever existed. Statistically, they say that an average teenager sees on a daily basis enough sin and evil that his grandfather never saw throughout his lifetime. Throughout his lifetime. A generation that these kids, when they leave our home, they relate with gay people. They relate with lesbians. They relate with people who are agnostics. They relate with Buddhists. They relate with people who deny God. And they are not. They do it. They flaunt it with arrogance. They relate. The society where I grew up from, where you grew up from, there was moral standard. There was respect for elders. There was respect for rules. They are growing in a society where there is no decorum. There is no decorum. If you understand them, you will have compassion. And if you have compassion, the story will change. The way you relate with your children will change. The way you talk to them will change. When you have compassion, you become softer. That's what happens. You become softer. If you used to talk like me arrogantly, if you used to talk with like me to shout, when you see the person, when you want to show compassion, they will even say, what has happened to you? You begin to soften. You say, hello, hello, how are you? Because you want to show compassion. Please show a little compassion. And let understanding build you up. So, I'm going to close the message because I don't have a lot of time at all, and I want to contain myself within the time. When you have understanding and you merge it with obedience, your relationship will work. Obedience, even when it doesn't make sense. Obedience, even when you don't understand. Abraham proved that when God called Abraham. God told him to go to a place. He was not in the generation of GPS. Where God said, this is the address. He asked God, where is the address? God told him, just set out. I will show you where you are headed. And the most frustrating thing was when Abraham went to Mrs. Abraham. And told the wife, and say, honey, we are relocating. And the wife said, where to? He said, I don't know. Said, what do you mean you don't know? Why are you deciding where? He said, God told me. He said, Abraham, you and this your God. We are relocating and he didn't tell you where we are. So what are we going to do? Just wake up and start going. He said, well, that's what he told me. And that's what I'm about doing. Oh, really? And I will follow you. He said, well, if you are still married to me, you better get your luggages and let's head out. Head out to where? I don't know. Obedience. When it does not even make sense. When it does not make sense. And we see the life of Abraham. We see what God did in the life of Abraham. I read about a guy. He was a teenager. And his father woke up in the morning and said to him, son, this is a list of chores I want you to do. And he went to do the chores. He finished it on time. And when he finished it, he came to dad. He said, dad, please, I have a request of you. You know how I love to watch soccer. My favorite dream is playing this afternoon. This happened in London. And please, can I go to the stadium to watch the game? And I need some money to buy my ticket. The daddy said, okay, I've heard. When it was close to the time to the game, daddy, he said, yeah, the game, he said, I understand. So dad said, I need you to do an extra chore. Oh boy, what kind of daddy is this? What should I do? Dad said, there's a pack of newspapers, old newspapers that I put in the garage. I want you to carry it and take it to the newspaper man, very close to the stadium. I want you to go and deliver those newspapers. When you finish delivering those newspapers, we will see about the game. The boy went to mom and said, mom, why does dad always do this to me? I made this request. The mom said, obey him. Obey him. Obey your daddy. We have always told you, whatever he says, even if it doesn't make sense, obey him. So the boy carried the newspaper. He was going with anger. He was going discouraged. He was going with a lot of resentment in his spirit. Carrying the newspaper. And especially the newspaper store is just close to the stadium. He took the newspaper to the man. When he got to the man and delivered the newspaper, he was about leaving to walk back home again. and see where the game, there is the euphoria in the stadium. Everybody was already gathering momentum. And the newspaper man called him and said, come back, son. What is it, sir? He said, your dad left a note attached to the newspaper. When the man opened the note and read to him, the daddy had written to the newspaper man to give the money, all the money that the newspaper is worth, to the boy. And the boy was to use the money to buy his ticket and go into the stadium and watch the game and use the rest of the money to enjoy the afternoon. The journey of reluctance that he walked to the newspaper store was actually a journey to the stadium where he was headed. Many times, we do not understand the plan and the purpose of the Father concerning us. Charles Stanley said, obey God and leave the consequences. Obey God and leave the consequences. Over your marriage, there are times you need to take away reason and obey God. As God asks you as a woman to be submissive to your husband, but there is no reason to submit to this man. There is no reason. I'm the breadwinner. I'm the one bringing in the bacon. I'm the one doing everything. He is not doing anything. And yet the Lord says, submit to him. Such times, obey God and leave the consequence in his hand. There are times it may be your turn to love your wife, and there is no reason to love this woman. There is no reason at all. Every circumstance is, in fact, she's so unlovable. Can you obey God? And say, Lord, my body doesn't even want to do anything but in obedience to you. In obedience to you. I will obey you and I will leave the consequence. Let me pray with you. Let me pray with you. Let me pray with you. Can you stand on your feet? Can you please play a little some music on the keyboard? Let me pray with you. Are you struggling? Are you struggling? Has it been very challenging? Has it been very difficult? I am here to pray with you this afternoon. Your relationship with dad, has it gone south? Your relationship with your teenage boy, has it gone south? Maybe you are here, you don't even see eye to eye. Is it your relationship with your spouse? Please, if you are here and you are in such a circumstance, God will arise on your behalf this afternoon. The Spirit of the Lord is present here. And the hand of the Lord is stretched towards you at this moment. I am not appealing to your emotion, because relationship is not about emotion. Oh, relationship is real. Relationship is real. Relationship is real. As you close your eyes, please stretch your hand towards me and just open your heart to God. Just open your heart to God. I don't want to make an altar call for you to even step forward. Open your heart. My relationship is not where it's supposed to be. Lord, arise. Lord, arise. Lord, arise. Or my loved one, I know somebody whose relationship has gone south. I stand on their behalf at this moment. Lord, arise. Arise. The creator of relationships, arise. God, we speak to you as a believing church. This hour, we ask in the name of Jesus, let the wind of God blow. Let the wind of peace blow. Let the wind of joy blow. Let the wind of happiness blow. Let the balm of Gilead begin the healing in our relationships, in these relationships. Let heaven arise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.